All right. How's it going, everyone? This is Eric. Welcome to this next episode of Minority Give Back. Really excited to have you here with me. It's been an awesome time. Hope you've enjoyed the journey so far. Hope you've learned. More importantly, definitely head up to my website. It's minoritygiveback.com. You'll see that flip over. You'll see the other episodes. But you can also engage and connect with me there. Shoot me a message, ask a question or anything like that. So really excited about that. So definitely take advantage of that. We are getting into some new topics, some interesting things as we wrap up and actually get into this year and get this thing going. The topics, this one is the real cost of that habit. And that's right. We're going to talk about the real cost of those habits that we have that we may not be thinking about that may actually be ripping us off and doing a lot of damage to our budgets. So let's get into it. So I'll start with a short story, something that I think is very relevant because it happens and we don't even think about it. So recently was working on a project. I am in the process of acquiring a property, personally working on doing an investment. You may have heard me mention this in one of the other episodes, but working on a project. So I was out there physically on site doing some work myself. You might be like, why am I doing that? Well, part of the reason is I'm a cheaper laborer than actually hiring someone else and I can do the work. So why not? But anyway, so I was out there on the site doing some work and ended up getting referred to another couple of guys. They, handy men. They're able to do some things. So we're ripping up floors and getting carpet out the way and doing all this stuff, whatever. So I hired them for the day. And typically, as you do something in that nature, you pay them cash. Like, I'm not going to write them a check and be like, all right, go cash it in your bank. So I'm going to give them some cash and then be on my way. They're on their way. And it was exciting. So this was cool. So we were getting things. We were hustling, getting it done. And I'm like, all right, so time's up. Gave him some lunch. And then it's like, all right, I'm going to drop you all off so you don't have to catch the bus. Another note there. Don't have to catch the bus. I'll drop you off. They didn't drive. I went and picked them up. And so I proceeded to drop them off. And the older gentleman, so it was the older gentleman, his nephew, older guys, older than me, probably in his mid-50s, was like, hey, let's stop by the liquor store up here on the corner. And I'm thinking to myself, in my head, I'm legitimately thinking, wait, what? Like, literally, he wants to stop. And he's like, yeah, I want to get some smokes and some drink. And then I'm going to head back home, do a little bit of work, and I'm done for the rest of the day. And I'm thinking to myself, really? Is this really how this is about to go down? And I'm like, whatever. I didn't say anything because it's not my prerogative to say something. It's his money. He earned it, rightfully so. And he can spend it however he wants to. But I'm sitting there, and so him and his nephew, they were chatting about some people they had seen in the area because we passed by an old neighborhood of theirs. And they mentioned a young lady, or a lady, I think she's actually quite old. She's older than me. Mentioned a young lady that they had seen, and they were like, wow, she looks really good. And, you know, she still looks healthy and things. Man, she looks like one of her daughters. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So just kept listening. And the older gentleman said it as we were pulling into the kind of store area, the parking lot. As we're pulling in, he says, yeah, she doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, don't do drugs, don't do anything. She eats healthy, works out, stuff like that. And I just turned and looked. I literally had to stop the car. And I just looked at him and I said, dude, bro, what's up? Like, really? Like, let's just think about what you just said for a moment. And so I parked the car and I'm like, are you really seriously telling me that you admire someone for how they look because they're healthy, they don't drink, they don't smoke, they don't do drugs, and they exercise, and yet I'm about to pay you because you definitely work, and you're going to go right into the store and do the exact opposite of what you just said? He was like, man, just life's tough sometimes. And I just had to stop there. So it's one of those things where I was like, I mean, it's your money. Do you? But it caused me to think, like, how many times do we have habits that we don't even think about anymore because there's so much of a habit that we just do? Maybe it's that, you know, Netflix where you just sit on the couch and you just veg out for, you know, Friday evening because you're tired of the world and you just want to, like, be alone. That's fine. But is that habit costing you where you could be productive, you could be learning something, you could actually, you know, be exercising? There's a lot of people, I mean, the statistics actually show us, there's a lot of people that are actually not as active as they used to be in doing certain things and doing things. And it's like, why? I mean, one of the other ones, I mean, for him in this example, he not only was smoking, but he was also drinking. It was like a double whammy. And he also bought some lottery tickets. And I'm sitting here thinking, man, so in this case, let's just round the numbers out. So say I paid him, and I'll just lowball this one, $100 for working for a day. That's cash, $100 cash. That's not bad for a day's work, actually. You know, you can get more or less, whatever, but $100, no taxes. I mean, you probably ain't gonna report it anyway. And yet, I can guarantee you that it probably cost them upwards of $20 to $25 to buy a case of beer and some cigarettes in DC. And then a lottery ticket on top of that. If he played a 5 or 2 or 10 or whatever he played, he has money on top of that. Gone. It's literally gone. Let's just think about that for a minute. I had him working for at least 3 hours, 4 hours. So he made a pretty decent per hour wage. More than minimum wage there. Let's just go with 4 hours. $25 an hour he just made. He literally, in a matter of minutes, wiped out an hour to an hour and a half of his labor. Just like that. Gone. And literally gone. It's consumed. And it's consumed in a place or in a manner that not only is higher tax, drinking and smoking are higher tax in states, and gambling as well, but there's no return on that. Like, you get nothing back. Satisfaction, smoking, yeah, your lungs, really? Drinking, yeah, buzz, okay. But seriously, it's gone. And that's the topic I want to talk about, is like, man, how often do we spend our time doing things like that? So with that being said, I want to actually run through a couple of statistics for you real quick so that you just get a real good idea of what this actually means. So the Motley Fool put something out back in 2019, just as an example, on lotteries. If you buy lottery tickets, I'm just going to let that sink. Why are you buying lottery tickets? The chances, in theory, the chances of winning the Powerball or the Mega Millions, the Powerball is one in, or at that point in time, it was one in, is that million? Yes, it is. 292,201,338. You one out of 200, let's just round that up to 300 million. One out of 300 million will win. All right, if you're trying to play the Mega Millions, your odds increase or decrease actually to 1 in 305 million. That's pretty bad. But that's not even the worst part about it. The worst part about it is that on average, they say that people that win the lotteries, because they don't have a habit, they don't have the mindset or the discipline to manage their money wisely, they are actually in worse off position within 3 years than they are when they were before they started. Why? They spend all the money and go broke. Because they aren't thinking about wealth from a different perspective. Also, just some things to think about. On average, an average American spends $219 on lottery tickets. Oh, that was in 2017. That was down $3.50 in 2016. That's a lot, really. So it went up. So that means, well, actually that one went down, but people were spending, on average, the average American spent just over $200 in lottery tickets in a year. If that's not something to kind of like fancy you, then I don't know what is. All right, but let's go into a different one. I just want to give you another example. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Americans spend about 1% of their gross annual income on alcohol. Yikes. That's even if you're going out for happy hour, if you're out, you know, just having a glass of wine during a meal, etc., or you're going to buy drinks. It's phenomenal how people do this, and it's kind of interesting. For the average household, that's around $565 per year. This is in America. Or $5,650 in 10 years, or a whopping $22,000 over a 40-year period. Essentially, about $11 a week is spent on alcohol in the average American home. All right. Now, that's just drinking. Now, smoking. These are just habits I picked to kind of just make a point. Smoking, the average cost of cigarettes is about $7, about $6.28, $6.30. This is back in 2019. That means a pack, if you smoke a pack a day, that sets you back about $188 a month, or close to $2,300 a year. Plus, not including any health issues that you may come across. And going to the doctor, or coughing, or any medicine, or anything else that you have added on top of that. So we think about the habit, and we only think about the habit and the cost, the wine. But it doesn't mean the liver damage. It doesn't actually talk about any other, the other things that come with that, diseases and things that happen as a result of habits that actually don't give us any benefit at all. So I just wanted to mention that because our habits do cost. And sometimes we actually really forget to think about the hidden cost, that real cost of a habit, which isn't just that. Imagine if you were to invest $500 into something. And at $500, even if it gave you a 5% return, let's just round it up to 10. That's $50, a return of $50 that could then, I've said this before, have your child, your dollars, have children. And then your children dollars have more children dollars have more children dollars. So they're making money for you over and over and over again. This isn't possible for everything, but it is possible for things that we often tend to neglect and overlook. So I would just encourage you again that on this, as with all things, take a look at what you're spending. We talked about this before, reviewing your budget. I actually now, in a way, with at least once a week, I check all my bank accounts, all my credit cards, my bank accounts. I check them all just to see. The numbers don't really change that much because I know I'm not spending a lot. But I check to see, make sure there isn't a bill or something that came through that I literally just forgot about or wasn't aware of, or something that was online that I didn't forget to cancel the subscription or something like that. I literally check those things and then I get alerts. So I have freecreditreport.com. I would recommend you potentially getting a credit monitoring of some sort. It just helps you to know what's going on. I use freecreditreport.com. It's provided by Experian. You don't have to do that. There are some other ones. Credit Karma is actually a pretty decent one. I would encourage you to get that one. There is a free one out there. Credit Karma is that one. Also, I have to say this, and I was trying to put a whole episode around this, and I'm like, forget it. I'll just throw it out there and take it for what it is. Sign up for a free kind of analytic tool. Mint.com is a really good one. There's another one out there. I'm actually doing an evaluation between two of them, so I'll let you know which one I think is good. But Mint.com is a really good one that I like, that I use. And what I did is I hooked up all my bank accounts. Now, one of the things I did notice that I don't particularly like about Mint is that the transactions tend to be outdated and out of sync. However, in the grand scheme of things, it's rather to see a whole bunch of stuff than to not see anything. So data and visibility is good. So I recommend just doing that at a bare minimum. Hook up your bank accounts to it. It's free. They do the sync for you every time you log in. And I believe it's like every 2 weeks or something like that. But it's just a read only. So you don't have to worry about Mint actually like posting into your account or withdrawing money. It's free. Like I said, it's free. But it gives you a kind of a big scope of what's going on. Plus, they have categories and things you can map and kind of do things to look at. Where are you spending? You can go in and create some kind of a budget of sorts to kind of say, all right, here's what I want to spend in. And it kind of tells you where you're tracking towards that. I would highly recommend doing that. And again, like I said, it's free. Free is good. However, the other thing is that they do have a lot of ads and advertising in there. So be careful what you click on. Yeah, they might say, hey, you qualify for this credit card. That doesn't mean you have to get it. I've been qualifying for credit cards for 10 years, and I haven't actually gotten one. Well, actually, I'll take that back. Because I saw a couple of credit cards that I was available or I did qualify for, I actually did get a zero interest credit card that I used to actually transfer a balance over. And then I paid it down. I paid it down within a time frame. And again, no interest on that. So that was actually pretty cool. But be mindful of the fact that they make their money off of the advertisement and the ads in there. So just be mindful of that. So yes, I am pitching and promoting Mint.com in this case. Like I said, there's another one. I'll give you some more information on that one in a later episode. But it's good to have some kind of a monitoring or at least account analysis going on so you can see where your money's going, what you're spending it on. And it does help you to then identify these like cliffhangers or these kind of accounts and or spending habits that just doesn't necessarily add up. And I'll say it again, our habits do cost us. Now, whether or not we're able to afford our habit or not is a different story, but I'll also recommend another thing. If you have a hobby and you're in the middle of trying to save money and your hobby costs you, such as, I don't know, eating out, going to the bookstore and, you know, renting books or something, if you have a hobby that costs you, playing golf or whatever, and I'm not picking on any one of these hobbies. I mean, I have a hobby as photography and actually flying drones, but I've had to curb that because unless my hobby, and this is just my rule, if my hobby doesn't pay me money, it's not a hobby for me. It's something that's sucking away my time and effort. But that's how I look at it. Again, I'm more of an entrepreneur type person. I think through that aspect in that way. So that's how I think. But it's something I want to kind of put in your brain, kind of like stick it out there and let you just kind of mull over that. If you have hobbies and things that you like to do and it costs you money to do it. Now, if you go rock climbing and things like that as a hobby, that's great. I don't know how you're going to actually turn it into a job unless you become good at it, skilled at it, and then you actually get a job there or you start teaching someone and tutoring, etc. Then that's possible. But think about what you're doing. What are you invested in? Time and or money and resources, skills and abilities, and are they benefiting you and are they helping you to get to where you want to go? And if they're not, doesn't mean you have to eliminate it, but plan for it. And that's the thing I want to say, plan for it. A lot of times we do things and we don't have a plan. Plan for it, and then when you have a plan, you then know how to manage it. And that's what we're responsible to do. It says it in the Bible, we need to be good stewards over that which is given to us. He who's faithful over that which is least will be made ruler over that which is much. And I recommend if you can manage your budget, managing either a team's budget or a company's budget or whatever else becomes quite easy because you have your own affairs in order. So with that being said, this is Minority Get Back episode. I really appreciate it. I hope that you've enjoyed it. The story was kind of funny to me. I definitely edited a lot out of that, but I hope you definitely enjoy just thinking about it again, the real cost of those habits that we have and what are they costing us. Have a great one. Definitely reach out with your questions. If you want to know about any particular tools or credit cards or bank accounts or even like anything dealing with retirements or investing, hit me up and let me know. Definitely on the next one, I'll go through some of the top things we can be looking at as an investor. So we kind of get that going and not just budgeting, but how do we actually start making our money work for us? So until next time, have a great one. Really glad that you're here with me on this. Share it with someone else. Hopefully it's a blessing to you and to them as well. And I look forward to catching up with you on the next episode of Minority Give Back. Have a good one.